And a good Wednesday, everybody. Welcome into the Rundown, ESPN 102.5, the game. We are streaming on the Game Nashville app. It is hump day. Chase McCabe, Marquise Munson hanging out with you as we are almost halfway there here on a Wednesday. Marquise, what's up?
What's up, man? I wasn't going to do the hump day thing.
I know. So. That's Ryan's thing. And if he ever decides to come back to the show, he can do it.
But, yeah, he can do it. That's his thing. It's Wrestling Wednesday, though, for us.
It is Wrestling Wednesday.
It's always Wrestling Wednesday for us.
NXT, AEW. I mean, there's a lot going on a Wednesday night.
I got to watch my stories. That's what I told the lady on Monday. I was like, okay, you know it's Monday, so you know what that means. It's, I got to watch my stories. So you got to, you know, ease your way into the smaller TV because the big TV is for me to watch my stories. That's what I'm going to call them, my stories. Kind of like how my mom used to describe her soap operas because that's pretty much what it is.
My grandmother used to say that about my great-grandmother would say that when I was a little kid and I would watch my cartoons and she'd be like, he's watching his stories. And that's exactly what you're doing. So the lady understands, though.
She does. She understands that Monday, Wednesday, and Friday are like days that she cannot book anything to do anything.
She pretends to understand, I should say.
She pretends to understand. I don't know for sure. Like, I have to, you know, still explain it to her. Like, you know, Wednesdays especially, like, don't book nothing. Like, I'm a little bit more lenient on Mondays and Fridays. Like, yeah. You know, if she wants to plan something, you know, I'll probably be a little bit more open. Like, I think during Raw on Monday, I think I went to the grocery store, like, during it. So, I mean, I'm a little bit more lenient on those days, but Wednesday for sure, nah, we can't. Yeah. We did date night Wednesday last week, so I missed, you know, Fyter Fest and the Great American Bash last week. I caught up on it because YouTube TV, it records it kind of automatically when you watch it enough. So I got to watch it over again. But, you know, sometimes you got to, you know, got to spice it up for the lady, you know.
There you go.
My voice got pretty high.
Yeah. I feel it. Yeah, you sound like Stewie now from
Family. You know, got to spice it up a little bit. Like we're going to do with baseball in Nashville.
Exactly. There we go. There's segue we've been looking for. So could Major League Baseball in Nashville be more of a reality than maybe we have thought? Now, this was obviously a discussion we had hot and heavy yesterday on Darren Jahnik and Chase. Dave Dombrowski, who is a longtime general manager in Major League Baseball, he built that 97 Marlins team that won the World Series. He was with the Red Sox most recently, with the Tigers. So he has been around and has quite the resume. He has joined Music City Baseball as being an advisor to try and bring Major League Baseball to this city, the Nashville Stars, as they want to refer to them as. Which is the name of a Negro League team, so paying homage to the Negro Leagues. Just how close do we think that they actually are? Their plan, somewhere in 2024, 2025, having an expansion team or a team moving here. I've talked to a few people about this and gotten their opinions, and I've always kind of been of the belief, and I know a lot of people have, that the most logical and I guess the best chance would be a team moving here. Not necessarily an expansion team, because I don't really know how close baseball is to expanding, especially now during a pandemic. I would think if there were any internal discussions, they have definitely been paused because of that. But a team moving, the Tampa Bay Rays, I could totally see that happening. You know, the Oakland or Tampa make the most sense because of their stadium situations and in their respective markets. But So I don't know exactly what it's going to be, but after the conversation we had with Dave Dombrowski yesterday, it does feel like that there could be a little bit of smoke to this conversation.
Yeah, absolutely. And we want the smoke, Chase,
yes,
especially in Nashville. We want the smoke. Nah, it's, you know, it's crazy because this time, like around this time last year is kind of when the rumblings kind of started when I moved here, at least. I know they've been here for a while now, but when John Lohr kind of signed on to do this project, you know, everybody wanted to, you know, they started to open their ears up a little bit to baseball in Nashville. And then I think Tim Corbin, you know, a couple months, maybe a year later, you know, he started having his input in it. And people in Nashville love Tim Corbin. yeah, love Tim Corbin, so obviously they're going to listen to him. And then now with David here, it seems like it's more and more of a possibility, especially when you got a guy with his resume, you know, World Series championship with the Red Sox, you know, what he did with Florida, and it's just with his track record of, you know, building successful, you know, teams and successful organizations, it kind of gives you hope that, hey, if he can do it in Florida with the Marlins, if he can do it with the Red Sox and win a championship there, you know, I think he can do it here. So it really does give a lot of hope for fans who love baseball and wants baseball in Nashville. Kind of gives them hope that, you know, there's some actual people behind this whole project that's going to possibly get this thing done.
Here's Dave Dombrowski yesterday with us on Darren Donican Chase when he thought that Nashville was a baseball city.
You know, I've heard the same thing about Nashville. And, of course, when you look at the Titans come into town, you see the Nashville Predators come here, that gathers your attention. I remember as Nashville as a city, I remember at one time they were talking about the Florida Panthers perhaps relocating to Nashville when Wayne Huizenga owned the team. So you know it's a big league city. But the growth of it throughout the years, and ourselves, Major League Baseball has their yearly winter meetings in Nashville about every 5 years. And when you attend the meetings are held at the Opryland. And so we know Opryland's beautiful. It's tremendous, but it's not really downtown Nashville in that sense. You don't really have the same exposure to it. But you keep hearing the ties and the comments over, particularly the last couple of years, when you look at places that pop in are mentioned as expansion, relocation-type cities, and Nashville's name is always mentioned. And then all of a sudden you start reading about the growth in Nashville, the number of people that are moving here. And I know myself, just when you read articles or you're watching television and you always hear, well, where are you from? Well, I'm from Nashville, or I'm thinking of moving to Nashville. I think over the last couple of years, it caught a lot more attention. And then for me, really, over probably the last 18 months or so, because I know Tony La Russa was involved in it. Tony and I are very close, and he would mention it every so often. So that's when really it started to click into my mind over that time period.
Dave Dombrowski, Music City Baseball on Darren Donica Chase yesterday. If you missed that interview, you can check it out at thegamenashville.com. So obviously there are a lot of obstacles that they're going to have to jump through. Number one, Major League Baseball is going to have to say that you can have a team, whether it's moving one there or an expansion team or whatever. So you got to get that, and then you got to get a stadium. And really, you might have to flip-flop the two. You may have to, hey, show them, hey, we have a stadium, we have plans for a stadium, and do any, you know, almost break ground before you get that type of confirmation that, yeah, it's going to happen. Finances involved, all of that. So I know that there's a lot that goes into it, and he actually says that Major League Baseball has made no promises, and it's going to continue to be a long process.
Yes, it is. There's no question about it. There's a lot of steps ahead of us, and it's a big challenge, and we know that. But I think any time that you get something that is worthwhile, there's a lot of effort to do that. And so when you look at what we need to do, there's many different steps. And first of all, Major League Baseball has made no promises to us. As you mentioned, they talked about Nashville, and they know that Nashville is a quality city and ready for a Major League Baseball team. But we have to be in a position where we end up, we have to get a ballpark built. We have to be in a position where we get the investors, even though that we've talked to people. You still have to be able to sign them up and get them on board here in the future. So there's a lot of different steps that are needed. I mean, working on feasibility studies at this point. We're working on plans for a ballpark and what it would look like. So there's a lot that's taking place. But again, I think it can be done, but there is. It's not going to be short term. This is a long-term process. And you're probably, with all this planning and work being done, you're probably talking about the earliest, and this is nothing that even to plan on, but it's probably 24, 25 until you start having Major League Baseball here.
At the earliest. Keyword there is
earliest. At the earliest. The goal is the earliest as possible, obviously, but I mean, it's gonna take a while. Like we have to figure out what, you know, if it's going to be, because I don't see an expansion happening in any sport. I know there's a lot of discussion on the NBA and how bad they want to be in Vegas, and that talk of expansion because of that reason. I don't see that happening. I don't see an expansion in MLB either. So it's going to have to be, obviously, the Rays and the A's, which I don't know when their contracts expires in their current situation now. So that's going to obviously play a big part into it as well. And then also the stadium, which we'll kind of discuss in further detail. And that's going to have to be, you know, and that's a long-term project just – you know, as it is, yeah, considering that the city's also working on trying to build a soccer stadium as well. So it's going to be a lot, but it seems like there's movement. And that's all that matters. As long as there's movement, as long as they're the right people that are handling the situation, it should happen. And that's the main thing. Like, a lot of people like don't know who John Lohr is, so when he first came out, a lot of people were just like, okay, this is just smoke and mirrors. We don't even know who this guy is. But then now, when you got other voices who are, you know, prominent in the city, with like a Tim Corbin, and you know, well respected in Major League Baseball as he is. And, you know, we can finally get some traction in this whole situation. So, I look forward to it. It's more sports in Nashville, and you know, you want your city to be a big city. You know, this city has a lot of room for growth. It can be like Atlanta. Hence, you know, they have every sport except for they traded their hockey for an NBA team. So I think this has a lot of traction to it, and it should get fans excited. But it's a long process. So we have to, you know, kind of hold our excitement for at least 7 years or so.
Here's what I want to know, though. I want to know where the city is on this, because you hear the plans that are laid out, and we've talked to Music City Baseball before, Dave Stewart and Alberto Gonzalez, the former Attorney General John Lohr, and now Dave Dombrowski. I want to know how city officials in Nashville feel about this, or if this is something that, you know, may have to take place outside of Davidson County, similar to what Atlanta did with Cobb County. Jared and I have had some discussions about that and what that would look like, and you know, and then the team. Do you move the Rays and you know, keep the Yankees and the Red Sox on the schedule? You can do interleague with the Braves or the Reds, and then you know, have that's how you can build your fan base. Because as we discussed with Dave Dombrowski yesterday, and again, if you missed it, check it out at thegamenashville.com. You know, I did bring up with him the difficulties of moving into a market that is such a melting pot with Braves fans or Reds fans or Cubs fans, Cardinals fans, you know, some Yankees, some Red Sox. You know, how do you convert those fans? And the Predators had to do it. You know, you still hear the phrase Pred Wings, because a lot of Detroit Red Wings fans lived here because of the GM plant and converted to Preds fans. But that was not an easy process, and it took a while, and it honestly took the Preds getting to the point where they were winning and qualifying for the playoffs and then winning in the playoffs to truly convert those fans. So I understand that that's going to be a very, very difficult and big part of the process, but that's just all a part of it.
So I'm going to ask you this then. I'm going to ask you two things, because one, you're local, and two, you're a Braves fan. So how do you think you'll convert? Because you're a diehard Braves fan. Like, you're more braved out than like most of the people that I know. So how would you convert, knowing that you're born and raised in Nashville and you lived out here your whole entire life? How would you be able to convert to that?
Well, it's a pretty easy answer for me, because what's happened with the NFL. Now, granted, I was younger, so I guess less time as a fan, but I was a Cowboys fan, and I'm still a Cowboys fan. I still, you know, and it works out perfectly for me, because most of the time the Titans play at noon and the Cowboys will play the late afternoon game or a night game. So I get to watch both, but I am still a Cowboys fan and I'm still a Titans fan. So I just support both teams, and I get a lot of crap for that, and I explain, and some people want to hear that explanation and understand it, and some people want to continue to argue with me about it because they like to argue and interrupt and can't shut up. So I just, you know, there are those people. But I still support both teams. I would do the same with the Braves. I've been a Braves fan for 33 years, so it's going to be even more difficult. Now, I love baseball, so if I know there is a Major League Baseball team in my city, I'm going to go. I'm going to go no matter what. And I think a lot of people will do that. Now, when they play the Braves, at least for a little while, there is a very, very good chance that I'm repping the A, that I'm wearing Braves.
You're gonna have one of those little like license plates, a house divided. Amongst yourself.
Divided
amongst myself. But I agree with you because I'm from California. Every team I root for is California related. You know, obviously the Dodgers, which, you know, that's my team, the Lakers. And I grew up, like a lot of people know this, you know, some people don't. I grew up a USC fan. I grew up wanting to go to USC. My dream school was USC. And I ended up going to the University of Alabama. And obviously they played before. They're going to play again. And then their little future games that they schedule 8 years in advance, they're going to play again. And I'm always torn between, because obviously that's the school that I wanted to go to, and that's a team that I grew up watching and loving. That's the reason why I love college football, is because of USC. And now I have to support Alabama, which is where I got my degree from, which is where I spent most of my life in Tuscaloosa. Most of my adolescence was spent in Tuscaloosa, so I'm always divided. But I always end up going with Alabama because of the degree, because I lived in that city for the longest period of time and spent my life there. So I'm always divided there. With the Kings, I just dropped the Kings. I was just like, I'm Preds now. Kings are trash. I'm not going to support them anymore. But no, I still, like, you know, if they win, they win. If they don't, whatever. But I'm always divided when it comes to college because of that Alabama-USC tie that I have.
See, but I didn't know Southern California had college football, so. You know.
Oh, you didn't, yeah. You can't tell because as soon as they lose, they move on to something else.
Yeah. All I can say is
California's fickle.
All I can say is the coach that they should have hired just won a national championship at LSU. So,
they can
deal with that.
Yeah, and then we end up getting Steve Sarkisian, which end up having a little problem, and then Clay Helton. So Alabama all day for me.
Roll Tide, as they say. So the stadium.
Roll Braves.
The Roll Braves. So the stadium. The stadium is obviously the biggest part of this conversation. Where will it go? What will happen with that? We'll discuss when we come back. Weigh in if you want. 615-737-1025 on the text line. How would you feel about Major League Baseball in Nashville? We'll discuss when we come back here on The Rundown, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Stream 102.5 The Game from anywhere. Download the Game Nashville app. Enable our Alexa skill or Google Home and ask to play 102.5 The Game. Our live stream from our website, thegamenashville.com. Chase McKay, Marquise Munson, he's back at the Wholesaling Studios, powered by rumbleon.com. We're talking Major League Baseball and Nashville. So before we get hot and heavy into the stadium, I brought up, what does the city think? And this is why I bring that up, because we've been through this whole process of building an MLS stadium, and it has definitely not been smooth. By any means, we're getting there. It's going to happen, and we know that Nashville SC is here, and they're going to have a beautiful new stadium at the fairgrounds. Then there's a process of fixing up a racetrack that you have NASCAR that wants to be in Nashville, in Davidson County. They want to be at that speedway. You have the folks that run SMI or the Bristol Motor Speedway, the SMI Speedway Motorsports Incorporated, that want to fix up that speedway. And it's been a slow process. So adding another thing to the list kind of makes me go, does it feasibly have a chance? Oh, by the way, there's also an NFL stadium that's going to need to be addressed at some point in the very near future. So, the Predators, they take care of the arena. They do a great job. They renovate, do things to it every year. It looks brand new, and it's 23 years old, I think. So they got that under control. So I think this is a valid question of just how the city comes into play with all of this. Now to the baseball stadium itself, Dave Dombrowski, again, who we're talking about, has joined Music City Baseball. He was on Darren Donick and Chase yesterday, and he gave the vision for the stadium.
No, well, that is one of the main factors, is the ballpark, because you're in a position where without a ballpark here in town, you can't have Major League Baseball. So it's a necessity to make it work. It's something we've talked a lot about. We will privately fund the ballpark that has already been discussed. So that will be part of our planning, is trying to get that done from a private perspective. We really love the East Bank as a preferred spot. Of course, that's not there. There's a lot that's going on in that area. But if you had a downtown ballpark that was privately financed, and we do think it would be a retractable roof stadium. The final decision hasn't been made, but we're looking at doing that for assuredness of playing. So if you have some rain in the summertime, or you end up in a thing where you want to use the ballpark for other reasons in the wintertime where it's a little bit colder, you can have the roof closed. So that is no question one of the big focuses for us, is trying to get a ballpark built, because that has to get done in order to get a team here.
Yeah, well, if you do that, you get a team. That's what's going to happen.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, but the retractable roof is important. And obviously, where the city comes in, even though they're going to privately fund it, where the city comes in, you got to find, they got to give you the land. You got to buy the land or work out a deal or whatever to find a place to put it. And it would make sense to have it over on the East Bank by Nissan Stadium. I think it would be awesome if you look across, if we're standing on Broadway and you look across the river and you see Nissan Stadium and you see this beautiful new ballpark. But again, there are hoops you have to jump through for that. So you're now saying, in this pipe dream that we're in, and I'm going to keep calling it that until we get a little bit closer to this being a reality, that you have the ballpark, you have the soccer stadium at the fairgrounds. I'm the NASCAR guy, so you're going to have the renovated racetrack, two cup races, one in Lebanon, one or Gladeville, one here. So you're going to have that. And then what happens with Nissan Stadium? Because as we discussed yesterday, Marquise, you know, one thing about building a new football stadium with a retractable roof is it opens the door for national championships, Super Bowls, WrestleManias, Final Four, those events right there.
Yeah, which we're all for, all of that, all yes. of the above. And that was the reason why, you know, we're not getting a national championship. And we talked about this, you know, during SEC Media Days, that's one of the reasons why Nashville's not being considered for a national championship, because of that, you know, situation with weather and how weather will play a part in January and in the beginning of January. And that's bad, because we have everything else. We have SEC Media Days coming here next year. We had the NFL draft. So we've already proven that here in Nashville, we can pull off events as big as the NFL draft or at SEC Media Days. So we've already proven that. They just don't have the facility to do it in. And that's the same thing with WrestleMania, which is held in April, which obviously, you know, they're going to need a roof if they're going to come to the South and do it, do a show, because rain plays a huge possibility in April when you live in the South, and in any month for that matter in the South. But, you know, that's the one thing holding Nashville back from having all these events that a lot of cities are benefiting from. You think half of these people want to go to Minnesota to go to a Super Bowl? No, guess what? But they got a new stadium with an attractable roof. And that's all.
Theirs is a fixed roof.
If Minnesota can get those things, Nashville can get those things as well. And I think they can do it better than a lot of these other cities can do it. It's just a matter of getting everything fixed. Now, we had a caller yesterday who talked about, you know, I'm a taxpayer and I don't want to pay, you know, the tax on building another arena for another sports team. And you're going to get those people who, obviously, if it doesn't benefit them, that, you know, obviously they don't want to pay for it. I think the soccer stadium and NASCAR will have their track in their field already done before we even consider putting this on the bill when it comes to a baseball stadium and maybe a renovations at Nissan.
Yeah.
So I think it's focusing two things at a time. I think if we can get the NASCAR track done in a couple years and get the soccer stadium done in a couple years, and then I think in 3 or 4 years we can focus on renovations at Nissan and then the baseball stadium.
Well, the thing about all that, though, Marquise, is the track and the soccer stadium, all that could we could be well into that process. But there's been all these little hoops because, you know, of city officials and politics and changes and all that stuff that have slowed everything down, and it's just like, do you want to keep growing?
Do you want
what?
Your city to grow? Do you like look at Atlanta? Atlanta is thriving right now. And no offense to the Braves, I'm kind of glad they moved their field from where I think they're all where the Olympic sign was back in the day.
Yeah, because they were in Olympic Stadium.
Yeah, and then now all of a sudden they moved over to Trust Park, and it's amazing. It is one of the best. Look, I went to that Dodgers Braves game, and that was one of the best baseball games I think I've ever been to.
Yeah, it's a nice facility.
It's amazing. Like you can just
Around it?
Yeah, and what's around it? You can just walk in. Like you can just walk through. They have a little courtyard area where they had like a band playing, and then they just had like Wahlburgers was around the corner, and then Yard House and all these cool places that you can just walk and go to. And that experience was amazing for a sports fan. Even though I'm not a Braves fan, I got to enjoy myself there because of just the atmosphere. So just imagine having a baseball field on Broadway where people can just walk through
or across the river.
Yeah. And just imagine that. And that can help this city grow and bring more visitors here. There's a lot of growth here that in Nashville that is just going unnoticed because – you know, officials and politics and all this other stuff that shouldn't matter when it comes to growing your city.
And I understand that this conversation is a lot different now than it was 4 months ago. I completely understand that. So I know that a lot of these things might be delayed and we have to focus on other issues right now. I don't get me wrong.
Absolutely.
But I do feel like that a lot of feet have been drugged on a lot of these things, on slowing this process down. And it's not just on the city. I mean, the Titans don't, you know, seem to feel like that they need to do a whole lot, that they don't want to build a new stadium. They want to do the Miami plan with at Nissan Stadium, which if that's what they want to do, then okay. But the city and everybody involved has to understand that if you do that, there are going to be some big events that your city is to be good enough to host, but you're not going to be able to do it because you don't have the stadium. And if you let the baseball team come in here and they build a retractable roof stadium, probably not going to get Super Bowls and national championship games, but you could get a Final Four. You will definitely get a WrestleMania. I mean, there you're going to let the baseball stadium get some of those events. So it's just a difficult conversation. It's an expensive conversation. I understand from the people's point of view that don't want their taxes to go up to pay for these things, but you also have to realize that you're in a city that is continually been on the rise, and you want to keep that momentum going with getting some of these events. I mean, you know, the Predators have paved the way with these big events, starting with the All-Star game. And they got the All-Star game here at the arena, you know, a few years ago. And that's one of the coolest events that I've ever been a part of and gotten to cover. And I hope it happens again. And then the draft and, you know, just it snowballs from there. We want to keep that going.
Yeah. You know what city is thriving from doing all this stuff that we're talking about? Vegas.
Well, Vegas, yeah.
Vegas is thriving off of that. Now that they got that football stadium, they're going to have national championships. They're going to have a lot going on in Vegas now. And you notice everybody, like all these big events is now gravitating towards wanting to go to Vegas. We talked about even with the hub cities of wanting to go to Vegas because of everything that Vegas has to offer and the amount of hotels they have to offer and the amount of access to, you know, stadiums and arenas and those different things. Nashville can be the same way. They have the hotels downtown to do all this stuff. They have a lot of surrounding area stuff that they can do this with. They just have to put their officials together and the politics of it and just make this thing happen. Because I want to thrive like Vegas. Nashville can easily thrive like that. Easily.
Absolutely. There's no doubt that they can. So just a cool conversation and something that I know we will continue to discuss. When we come back, Nashville SC, we've mentioned them a couple of times. The latest on them and when they're actually going to play. We'll discuss that. It's The Rundown. Jason Marquise, ESPN 102.5 The Game. It's The Rundown, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. Chase McKay, Marquise Munson hanging out with you on a Wednesday. Nashville SC was scheduled to play tonight against Chicago in the MLS's back tournament They were going to get their season resumed, but all plans sometimes get altered, and it has been postponed because of positive tests for COVID-19. Five players did test positive, and I know they're awaiting some results for some other players, some unconfirmed tests. So I know that it's obviously difficult right now for everybody with Nashville SC, the coaching staff and support staff, and trying to figure out what's going to happen. Because, I mean, if we're being honest, we just saw FC Dallas basically, they were like, hey, you're out. You know, there's too much going on with positive tests. And so now you worry, could the same thing happen in Nashville SC? And I worry even more because you're trying to build a fan base, and it's an expansion team, and they're two games into their existence. And so you want to get them back on the pitch. You want to get them playing. You want fans to be able to watch their team. I know a lot of people, including myself, were very excited about the game tonight. Of course, we're their partners. You're going to be able to hear it on both 102.5 and 94.9. So, and that's still going to be the plan whenever they reschedule the game. But it is, you know, it's obviously there are a lot of unknowns with this right now.
Yeah, it's hard because especially when all these sports are slowly but surely coming back and you have all eyes on your product at this point. And, you know, you miss that opportunity to gain a new fan base. And that's kind of the hardest part for Nashville SC fans, especially ones locally who support the team, of seeing them on a national scale. Like, this was today is the return of soccer. Today is the like inaugural day. And who is going to be one of the teams that is competing on national TV? Nashville SC. And they had that large national platform that they would have had. They would have had the audience because people have been cramming for sports. And soccer is one of them. So they had that national scale, and it's unfortunate that's how it had to end. But it's postponed, and that's the key word. And that's the word that I'm going to continue to use because, you know, it still leaves hope that the season will still go on for Nashville SC, is the fact that it's postponed, not they're completely banned. Now, we'll see as far as future tests is concerned and what the protocols will be to get them back on the field, you know, five players, you know, hopefully if a couple of them test negative, maybe they can get back on the field, you know, so we'll see. But it's a big loss for Nashville SC, especially when today is the season starting and they're going to be on that national platform and they're going to miss that now. And I think the fans will still be there, obviously. You know, we've seen the fans here and how passionate they are for this team. But, you know, you also wanted to get them in that national level as well and get them some national notoriety that they would have got tonight. And unfortunately, that's not going to happen, but hopefully it happens down the line.
Yeah, no, I definitely hope it happens. And I know that some of you are frustrated and probably confused and just can't figure out why you can't get your team back and get sports going. But this is all a part of what we knew could happen as sports attempt to return. I mean, we're seeing it, you know, the NHL, they have agreed on a plan and now everything's going through a vote with the players and the CBA and everything's going to be ratified. And the plan is for the Predators to play the Coyotes on August 1st. But if I'm being honest, we have to get to August 1st. I mean, you got to get there first. I mean, we can have all these plans laid out, but you're obviously excited about the NBA and them headed to the bubble, but yet again, there's some NBA news about somebody testing positive and potentially, you know, slowing things down.
Yeah, Taurean Prince, who plays for the Brooklyn Nets, tested positive. So that's, if it's my count correct, that's seven players on the Brooklyn Nets that are not going to be in the bubble. That's seven right. players. And so that, to me, is alarming, especially because they're a team in the bubble. So Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, Nicholas Claxton, who is out with all injuries, Spencer Dinwiddie, you know, DeAndre Jordan, Taurean Prince, and Wilson Chandler with COVID, you know, decision. Well, Wilson Chandler, his personal decision to not go in the bubble because of COVID, but there are other three players tested positive with COVID and, you know, were advised to not go in the bubble. So that's seven players on one team that is gone. Not to mention that the Wizards are going to be without Bradley Beal, and that's not due to COVID, but it's still, that's another player off of their team, which I think that's three or four for them. So it's every team is being affected by this, and that's why I'm still like, look, I have, even as excited as I am, I watched a 1 hour special on TNT about the NBA starting back with Shaq and D-Wade and Candace Parker and Vince Carter, all talking about the return to play. Chris Haynes was in the bubble talking about it. And even that, seeing Chris Haynes from Yahoo Sports sitting there in the bubble with a microphone talking about it, I still have my uncertainty about the season starting. And that's because, like, it's a week-by-week basis. This player tested positive yesterday. So that means they're still testing players. And we may never know, once they get in the bubble, they could be testing positive there, too. So I still have some doubts on the season starting. I need to see a basketball hit the hardwood before I actually think that there's basketball going on. And it's pretty much the same thing for hockey. Like, I'm going to have to see a puck drop right in the middle.
It's the same thing for all sports, Marquise.
Yes. We're going to have to see something. I had to hear engines roaring to know that NASCAR was back and back on the track before I actually believe that they're back on the track. So
yeah.
It's all of this with all these sports, man. It's just, we have no idea because, you know, we may have future plans for all this stuff, but things change week by week, day by day with this virus. And that's the problem with it. And, you know, hopefully by July 30th, you know, I'm watching basketball, but I'm still like, maybe. Maybe.
My thing is, I'm more leaning towards, I think they get started at this point in some way, in some capacity, but it's, do they finish? And how long do they – I mean, do they play 3 days and then they realize, okay, we can't do this, and do they bail? But I feel like at this point they're all committed to trying to start, but it's just how long can they go with it? And that's what we're going to have to find out.
Yeah.
It's like I said, and we don't know the NHL players that are opting out yet. You know, baseball, there's been several. NBA, there's been a handful that they've opted out. The reigning MLS MVP opted out of the return to play tournament. So, you know, there's going to be some names that say, hey, I'm not going to go, but we haven't gotten that far yet with hockey. But I think they get there. I think they could potentially get started or all get to the bubble. But then if you have just, you know, a slew of positive tests, do they, as Darren likes to say, pull the ripcord. So I just think it's all a process.
For basketball, it gives me a little hope because the TBT league has been going on as planned, and they've been fine. I don't think they've had players test positive. I think they've been kind of – and if you don't know what TBT, it's basically a tournament.
Throwback Thursday.
Yeah, throwback – or throwback Thursday for that matter. But it's basically a tournament that lines up a bunch of players who don't play in the league, who – like, for example, there's a team like on the Marquette, like the Marquette all – like – all-star team, but basically all players who played at Marquette. So there's an Ohio State team like that as well. Chris Paul has his own team, so he aligns his team with like Wake Forest guys or any other player for that matter. Wade Baldwin is on the Floyd Mayweather team, and who played at Vandy. And so they have this tournament for a grand prize, and obviously they've been going on without a hitch, and they've been going on business as usual. So, you know, that gives me some kind of hope for the NBA, but like I said, we just don't know. And I heard this question on Golic and Wingo this morning of, do we think that MLS and the NBA are going to crown a champion? And I have to think about it like, that is actually a good question. It's a good question. Will they crown a champion? Because remember, both of these teams are trying to crown a champion by what, October? September, October? So it's, like I said, this thing changes every day and by the week. So we'll see what happens. I'm hoping that, you know, we see some hockey, we see some basketball, but like with Nashville SC, we thought that, hey, they're going to be back on the field today, and now all of a sudden we're not having soccer today. So with Nashville SC. So like I said, there's a bunch of questions that still need to be answered about this. So I'm holding my excitement until I actually see a basketball or a hockey puck for that matter.
When we come back here on The Rundown, he is back. I'll tell you who that is, plus a decision we'll discuss when we come back on The Rundown, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back into The Rundown, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Chase McCabe, Marquise Munson, little Eric Bischoff bringing us back, and it's so appropriate because somebody is back. Jimmy Johnson has been cleared to return to the track after testing positive last week for COVID-19. He was asymptomatic with that, and the conditions of him returning where he had to have two negative tests 24 hours apart from each other, that has happened, and so he has tested negative twice this week on Monday and Tuesday, and he was cleared by his physician last night, Tuesday night, in accordance with those guidelines, and so he is going to be ready to go this weekend at the Kentucky Speedway. This is big for him in his championship hopes of trying to be an eight-time champion because he's still in the top 16 in points after missing last week, and so he can jump back in and be good to go. He was granted a waiver, so he can make the playoffs. Usually it says you have to run all the races, but he was granted a waiver that if he stayed in the top 30 in owner's points or won a race or was in the top 16, that he would be eligible for the playoffs. So he's going to be in good shape there, at least for the foreseeable future. And I hate that he missed. This is supposed to be his last year, keyword being supposed to be. I would like to see Jimmy Johnson, you know, be able to go out with the fans and have a, you know, run the Brickyard one more time. So I hope he might reconsider and come back. But if it is his last season, at least he only misses the one race and will be able to jump back in that 48 and be good to go this weekend at Kentucky.
Yeah, but that also shows that, you know, a player can test positive and then, you know, test negative the next two times and go back and goes business as usual. So it's good to see him back on the track. I don't know if he's going to catch up to Kevin over there, who's yeah, kind of running the show right now.
Or
at
Denny
this point.
Hamlin.
Him and Denny Hamlin's been going back and forth, kind of running the show.
No, you get a win. You get a win. Yeah. Okay, I'll win. You win.
It makes betting a little easier because you just got to put, you know, some money on one of those two, or maybe both of them for that matter.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's good to see him back, you know. Like, I just don't want Jimmy Johnson because, you know, even though I'm not, like, a huge NASCAR fan, I know who Jimmy Johnson is. Like, sure. I think anybody who even doesn't watch NASCAR knows who Jimmy Johnson is. And I just don't want to see him get the Vince Carter treatment and right, you know, have to end his last game due to, you know, his last race, you know, due to the virus. So I'm glad to see him back. You know, I'm glad to see that, you know, NASCAR has that protocol to where you don't have to run all the races to actually compete in the playoffs. So we can still see more of Jimmy Johnson this season. So I want him to go out with fans. Vince Carter still got to go out with fans, but it just didn't end the way that I would, you know, expected it and wanted it to go, with the 82 game being his last game and then him kind of walking off on, you know, in the sunset. But, you know, glad that Jimmy Johnson is going to have that opportunity to still do that and hopefully see him back next year.
So, Marquise, it was 10 years ago today that we all gathered around our television sets to watch Jim Gray and LeBron James. And this is what it sounded like.
The answer to the question everybody wants to know. LeBron, what's your decision?
In this fall, man, this is very tough. In this fall, I'm going to take my talents to South Beach and join the Miami Heat.
Miami Heat. That was the conclusion you woke up with this morning.
That was the conclusion I woke up with this morning.
There you go. LeBron James, 10 years ago today, leaves Cleveland, breaks so many hearts. He has the television special, and we've talked about it time and time again that there were good intentions behind it. It just came off the wrong way, and he leaves Cleveland. It's kind of looked at the heel turn. It was LeBron's heel turn. But he goes to Miami, wins a couple championships with D-Wade and Chris Bosh, and those guys down there, Eric Spoelstra, and then goes back to Cleveland and wins a championship there. And now, of course, he's with your beloved L.A. Lakers. But it's hard to believe, Marquise, it's been 10 years since the decision.
Yeah, he joined Scott Hall and Kevin Nash in Miami. That was pretty much his move.
He was the third man.
He was the third man, which basically he gave. I've always talked about this, that, you know, they gave it away on the announced team that Hulk Hogan was the third man. They should have never said anything, but that's a story for another day. But every time I hear that clip, I always think about that girl crying in the bar, and then she just like cries, "I hate you, LeBron," and then people just burning his jersey like that. That night,
so much hate for him.
It was so much hate. And I asked it, like, because me and my buddy were talking about this yesterday, because he tried to compare. He had a tweet that he used Nick Saban, but he also used the analogy of LeBron James. like comparing the two because they're both great in their own individual sports. And he told me he got a lot of flack for that tweet from Alabama fans of don't compare LeBron James to Nicholas Saban and all this other Alabama mumbo jumbo with that they be talking about in Coleman, Alabama or whatever. So like he's got a lot of flack for it, and we got into the discussion of why people hate LeBron James. That's why I tweeted it, because I was like, why do people hate LeBron James? Was it this decision that made them start hating LeBron James? Is it the foul calls? I think it's a little deeper than that, that I probably won't get into on these airways, but I think it's a little deeper than why people actually do hate LeBron James. But that decision really made people look at LeBron in a whole different light and started to really, you know, a guy who went from being the most beloved person in the league to now being the most villainized person in the league. That's why everybody was happy when a guy like Dirk Nowitzki and Jason Terry and a bunch of, you know, guys who you wouldn't expect be stars on teams outside of Dirk Nowitzki, of course, you know, beat LeBron and the Miami Heat in that first, you know, NBA Finals of the Heat's run. And that's why everybody was so excited about that, because they loved to see LeBron fail. And now, it's crazy now, looking back on it 10 years later, that now he's back to being one of the most beloved. He came back as Mr. America, as Hulk Hogan did, wore a mask, and then now all of a sudden everybody loves him. And so, because he beat the Warriors. He beat another dynasty created. So,
well, it didn't even matter that he beat a dynasty. It was
he won for Cleveland.
He came back and he won a championship for Cleveland. He made it right. And that was, and I respected him for that, because I know it bothered him.
It did.
Of how everything went down.
It hurt.
And I you know, he's talked about it, and you know, I remember too, I was watching when COVID first started. I watched a bunch of 30 for 30s, and I don't know if, I guess this one isn't really considered a 30 for 30, but I watched the D-Wade documentary, and they showed the part where he's sitting there, and he's made his decision that he's going back to Miami, and they're waiting on LeBron, and like nobody's heard from LeBron, and because they thought that that's what it was going to be, and he watched the decision like everybody else and gets all excited when LeBron's saying that he's going to South Beach, going to Miami. So
It's funny, because I think personally, like, LeBron needed to go to Miami in order for him to win a championship in Cleveland. Like, he needed to go somewhere else. We always talk about that with players. Like, just sometimes players just need a change of scenery. If it's for the long haul, or whether it's for the short term, a lot of players just need a change of scenery. I bet you Reggie Miller wishes he had a change of scenery, because he would have won a championship. Yeah. I think. And I wish there's certain players, you know, even though Charles Barkley tried to do the change of scenery thing, he just did it with the completely wrong teams. And sometimes players just need that. And, you know, Shaq needed it with the Lakers of finally, you know, leaving, you know, either it was him or Kobe, and they chose Kobe, and he went to the Miami Heat and won a championship with them as well. He just needed a change of scenery. Same thing when he was with the Orlando Magic before he got to the Lakers. Him and Penny could have easily won a championship together if they would have stayed together. But he needed a change of scenery. And sometimes you need that in order to grow as a player. We talk about that with Marcus Mariota. We'll see with him, you know, when he becomes the starter for the Las Vegas Raiders in week 6, which is my prediction.
Enjoy that.
Enjoy that. And I will enjoy that. But sometimes players just need a change of scenery. So I think Cleveland does not get a championship if LeBron does not go to Miami. So thank him for going to Miami. Thank him for the decision, because guess what? It's the reason why Cleveland broke that 53-year drought, is because LeBron James went to the Miami Heat. So thank him for that, and hopefully he wins another one with the Lakers, because I'll enjoy it.
I know you would enjoy that. It might be this year. Win it for Kobe, win it for America. That's what's going to happen this year. So that's going to do it for today's edition of The Rundown. We'll have the latest on Nashville SC at 11. Drake Hills of the Tennessean is going to join us. Also, Trevor Maddich, who usually here on the afternoon show, is going to join us at noon. And Harry Douglas, former Titans wide receiver, at 1 o'clock, plus Chris Mason and Bill Barnwell. So a stacked and packed show. Stick around. Darren Donovan Chase, that's next. ESPN 102.5 The Game.